Speaking of baseball, he's the skipper, Sioux Falls Canaries, Steve Shirley. Hey, Skip. Good afternoon.
How we doing, fellas?
Are you back in town?
I am. Got in yesterday afternoon.
Excellent. From the friendly confines of Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yeah. Yep. It's a little chillier up here, but not too bad.
Are you still looking for any players on the roster? Did you hear about St. Paul? They got a guy who's from Albuquerque. He's a 60-year-old, Paul Risso. He's going to try to make the ball club on Friday.
Well, good for him.
84-mile-an-hour fastball. Compare that in the league. If you have an 84-mile-an-hour fastball, can you survive being in the American Association?
Yeah, I believe you can. I mean, you have to have a lot of other stuff, and you have to know what you're doing with it. You have to be able to change speeds. We have had pitchers that throw roughly that, but they got a lot of movement, good change-ups, good location, good breaking balls, you know, kind of know what they're doing with their stuff. So it's not just whether or not you throw 84, 86, 89, whatever. It's most of the time it's what you do with it and what other stuff you have.
Yeah, that was kind of my point, Skip, when we were talking about him trying out for the St. Paul Saints. It's great if you can throw 84 miles an hour. Most of the time that'd be impressive, but, you know, even though it's independent ball, it's still professional baseball. And if you don't have anything else, these guys are just going to be waiting on that, and they're going to be able to tee off pretty good if they know that's basically your one and only pitch.
Oh, yeah. Well, 84-mile-an-hour fastball's batting practice if that's all you're throwing. I mean, like I said, you can throw 84, but you better have some other good stuff to go with it. And you better know what you're doing with that other good stuff, because you're not going to throw the ball by anybody, so you have to be able to change speeds. And you have to keep them off balance, and you have to be able to hit locations. And you also have to know something about the hitter's weaknesses and how to attack those. But strictly going at a guy with an 84-mile-an-hour fastball is not going to get you far in this league, no.
I bet you could turn on an 84-mile-an-hour right now. Could you, Skip?
I don't know. I don't know. I may slap it the other way, but I don't know if I can turn on it.
How about the roster? How full is it? How much more room do you have?
Oh, I've got some more room. It's just a matter of what shakes loose and looks like maybe we would have a spot for it. It's at this point we got, I think, 24, 25 guys coming in. We can have up to 28. We've never brought in 28 guys, so I don't think I've ever brought in more than 26 for spring training. So, but I mean, you have the ability to take a look at a couple of guys and so I like to keep some options open in case something shakes loose that we've.
Is there one guy, Skip, right now that you've got on your roster that after the end of last season, whether it's a new guy, whether it's somebody that you had last year, that you're like, I absolutely 100% have to do everything in my power to get this guy back?
No, I don't think you have guys like that so much. Because a lot of times, I mean, yeah, we may feel that way, but I can't be that, I don't know, committed or dedicated to a guy like that because, you know, stuff happens. And, you know, I mean, if you're that committed or dedicated to somebody, then he becomes almost irreplaceable, and you really can't go with irreplaceable in our league.
How about a phenom? You got a phenom that you think, one of the young kids that you're going to bring in that could catch fire in this league?
Well, I like this. I'm curious about this kid that we signed out of California, Trujano. And he played at a very good baseball school down at Cal State Fullerton. And he was a three-year starter down there for them. And that's a very tough conference to play baseball in. So he's seen good pitching. And he plays all over the field. He can play second, short, third. He can move around quite a bit. And the scouts that I talked to down there said he was simply not drafted because of size. He's a little undersized.
He's about 5'7", 160, yeah, a little smaller.
Yeah, he's got all the tools and all the abilities. He just wasn't drafted because of size. And sometimes we can get guys like that in here, and they can be big difference makers in our league because it's not that he wasn't signed because of ability. Mm-hmm. He wasn't signed because of size. That we don't have those kind of restrictions, so he may end up being a diamond in the rough for us.
What kind of team are you looking at, Skip? Are you a team that Are you going to have a lot of power in the lineup? Are you going to be a team that's going to have to manufacture runs? Right now, what are you looking at with your lineup?
I kind of see a fairly well-balanced team. I see a person like Van Stratton and Morales, Alonso, the first three guys in the lineup that will hit, move around a little bit. You know, Van Stratton and Morales will steal some bases. And then you get into the 4-5 hole where you have Pujadas, who's got some power numbers, and then you got Clark, who hit 24 home runs a couple of different times in the minor leagues. And then JP will be in the 6 or 7. So he's a left-handed guy who's also hit some power in his career, but he's a base hits. He's an average hitter also. So it's going to be interesting as we put it together to kind of see how it does fit together. I think we're going to be balanced though.
He's Steve Shirley, the skipper. Sioux Falls Canaries is the season just over 2.5 weeks away. All the games, home and away, again, right here on KWSN. Skip, how about Ben Moore? Have you talked to Ben? Have you seen him? Is he looking pretty good?
Because
he's coming back.
I saw him today. He looked great. He's been in town now for a while. This is, I guess, the best way to put it about Ben is this is one of his homes. Ben travels around.
Yep.
It's kind of hard to tie him down. He just got back from Australia. He was down there for a few months, and he's got family over in Minnesota. But when he settles in, he lives in Sioux Falls here. So I got a chance to visit with him today. He looks fine. He's ready to rock and roll.
Well, he's a guy that certainly has been pitching recently and is ready to go, but your expectations of all the pitchers come in. They have to be ready to go from day one, correct?
Yeah, we only have 12 days of spring training, so it's a situation where you got to come in with some ability to throw the ball, and you've got to have... I always suggest to the guys to come in ready to throw two innings of, under game conditions. So if you come in at two innings of game conditions, if we're going to use you in the bullpen, we can keep you at two innings or back you down to an inning. And if you're going to be a starter, we can get you up around five innings by the end of that time. So it gives us the flexibility to do what we have to do with our staff.
He's Steve Shirley, skipper of the Sioux Falls Canaries here on Sports Talk with Craig and Chris. So when it comes to only having 12 days of spring training, how does your spring training and differ from major league and minor leagues? Obviously, you don't have as much time, but are there things that you really have to focus and emphasize on because you've only got a little less than 2 weeks?
Yeah, you really have to you do a lot of stuff, but because you got to put it all in a short amount of time, so you really have to try to emphasize some of the plays and some of the signs and things like that, things that when you're in a major league spring training, you have over a month to get all that stuff straightened out. And we've got 12 days, but you got to work on bunt plays. You got to work on first and thirds. You got to work on your signs so that the players are aware of what the signs are as they're coming from the third base coach. You got to work on a lot of different, cuts and relays, because eventually the players have to get to a point where they have a very good understanding. If an outfielder's run into the wall to pick up a ball hit off the wall, he wants to be able to turn and throw and know that cutoff man is where he's going to be, where he's going to be standing. That's important. So we work on that to get the timing and the rhythm of that done. So stuff like that is stuff. And then you got all the other stuff. You got bullpens and you got hitting and you got all that other stuff too. But some of the stuff that becomes critical under a short period of time, it's just making sure everybody's on the same page on the field. If I put on a bunt play, everybody on the field has to know which bunt play I put on.
Hey, one more position to talk about, your catching position. You got a couple of guys in. Who do you expect will be your catcher for the season?
Well, I guess a little bit of that's yet to be determined. I've got three guys that are capable. Steve Dominguez is, as a matter of fact, right as we speak, Mike Myers is at the airport picking up Steve. And Kevin Doltz is a younger player, less experienced. He's flying in tomorrow. And then Jake Taylor was our backup catcher last year. Now, he's the only one of the three that I've actually been able to watch play. And Jake's a very capable catcher. So we have three guys that are capable of doing the job. It's just going to be who sticks out at the end of that time frame.
One more thing, Skip. We're talking about what guys do. What is one thing, if a guy's looking to make this team and you're not familiar with them, what is an absolute no-no that would get them cut or get them on your bad side?
84 mile an hour fastball? I'm just
curious because we know what people are looking for, but is there one trait where you know if you see it from a guy, he's done?
Well, I could say that something that gets the guy on my bad side quicker than anything is if he's not a good citizen. I mean, I bring good people into this community, and if you're not, you're out of here. I'm not very patient with people that I think may not be the type of person we'd like to have on our club. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not very tolerant with certain activities and certain things that that I become aware of, and they just won't be around.
Skip, great talking with you. Welcome to town. Don't worry, the snow will be out of here before the weekend is out. So
well, I appreciate it, guys.
We'll talk to you again soon. We'll talk soon.
All right, thanks a lot.